in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then we'll be able to test and approve what is God wills is his good, pleasing and perfect will.
Amen. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Sorry, my Bible is just well-loved, so thanks, Drew. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. What are some things, what are some patterns? What are some rhythms in your life that you, some routines that you get into, like on a day-to-day basis? What are some patterns of this world that you maybe like? It's like flowing water, just downriver. Like it's easy. It's easy to just slip into. It's easy to get into. What are some patterns that are easy like that? And then on the flip side, what are some patterns? What are some things in this world that are difficult? Right? It's like fighting upstream. It's like fighting up rushing water. Like what are some things in your life, some rhythms that maybe you feel like you want to get into, you want to be a part of, you want to do? Maybe it creates like a health for you. Maybe it's like exercising, or maybe it's like being in prayer. Maybe it's, or I don't know, something that you can do on a day-to-day basis that you want to do that gets you connected with people or with God. But for one reason or another, it's difficult. It's hard. You know, like I said, it's like fighting up river. And you know, we've got the downstream waters that are flowing over us that are causing us. You know, we have work, right? We have school. We have homework. We have chores. We have things to do. We got food to put on the table. We've got all kinds of stuff that feeds into our lives that we on a day-to-day basis, like it causes us maybe to put off some of these rhythms that we want to be a part of, but we just find a struggle to. How often, for one reason or another, do we trade our personal goals of entering into a healthy pattern with God? How often do we trade those things for the habitual busyness and swift gratifying nature of this world and our culture? Ken Shigematsu, who was the author of a book, God in My Everything, he actually came and spoke to our church a few years back, and he shared with us like what his natural rhythms would be. He shared with us like, you know, I've got these things in my life that these old habits, these old routines that kind of keep me from connecting with God. And so what he did is he said, I have these priority list of things. Some of them are a weekly thing that, you know, I pay attention to, and then others are these daily rhythms. And so, you know, he talked about like keeping the Sabbath. It's incredibly important. He shared how, you know, the Sabbath gets brought up in the Bible so many times, and Jesus brings it up so many times. Naturally, that's probably something that is important that we need to pay attention to. But how hard is that, right, for us, especially in this culture? Like, how hard is it for us to find a full day where we're not working, where we are resting, where we're one with God and not doing hardly anything? That's tough. He shared how, so he keeps the Sabbath, like, and finds that important. He talks about, like, meditation, you know, which I'm probably the worst at. But like meditation, he talks about how he spends 10 minutes every single day, he spends 10 minutes just simply being still and resting with God. And 10 minutes doesn't sound like a long time, but apparently psychologists have said that for people that they have surveyed that have spent 10 minutes every single day meditating, these folks are happier, they're more joyful, they're more patient, and they can't really figure out the correlation between this and that, but apparently they shop less. Like I said, they don't know the correlation. Maybe if you meditate, like you're like filling a gap or something there. I don't know. But like for whatever reason, meditating for 10 times a day, you're less likely to swipe that card or look through Amazon for some kind of material wishes, right? And so he talked about meditating. He talked about like exercising. And finding like actual joyful exercise, because you know, for me, when I think of exercise, I hear like a lot of you in this room I know are runners. I hate running. I'm sorry. I'm miserable when I run. But like I love to hike and I love other activities so finding a joyful exercise that'll bring you joy when you do it and protecting that time of exercise, that is something that Ken Shigematsu offers, and then prayer and worship to bring back to God, to offer to God our petitions, our hopes and our dreams, like we talked about a few weeks ago, our wants, the things that, and then our tithe, our like our personal selves, our time and our energy, giving that back to God in worship. And so he talks about these things, and he says that when we begin to trade these things, when we begin to maybe remove some of our things that stress us out, that give us anxiety, that start to weigh on our minds, when we start to remove those things, that's and replace them with some godly rhythms, that's when we begin to see that we are fully being transformed by God for the renewing of our minds. Excuse me, I've been crying. so I don't have any like saliva in my mouth anymore. I'm like, but we're starting a series this morning called Be or in parentheses ING. So Be or Being Transformed. The series is talking, it's a both and thing. It's be transformed. So it's a call to action. Be transformed. And then simultaneously, we are being transformed. So it's like this lifestyle. It's like this introduction into our lives that is being caused by God, that we are being transformed by God. This series of being transformed, we're looking at what it looks like for our lives to be changed, for our lives to transform and to kind of honestly rewire our brains into more godly patterns, into more godly rhythms, a more godly life. So this couple week series is going to lead up into Lent. For those of you who have not grown up in the church, or maybe you're not, like you've heard of Lent, I don't know, but this is the season of Lent where starting in, I believe, early March, like we're going to be basically spending 40-ish days leading up to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, leading up to Easter. So these 40 days leading up to Easter. And so, you know, what we're doing is right now we're preparing to kind of prepare, which, you know, that sounds funny, but I honestly kind of love that we're preparing to prepare, because that's kind of embedded in our DNA as Christians, that we are preparation people. Like if you take kind of a step back and look at kind of human history, we live in an age that is post-resurrection Jesus and pre the return of Jesus. And so we are kind of constantly in this state of celebrating the good news that Jesus has in life after death. And then we are also preparing for beautiful transformation of the world and the heavens and Jesus' return. And so we're kind of holding in both hands always celebration and preparedness. So we are preparing people. And so preparing to prepare just simply kind of honestly makes sense. One of the honest reasons why we want to prepare for the coming of Lent, which is preparing for Easter, we are getting into, we want to be able to sometimes basically have in our minds a willingness to prepare, because Lent is also partly like surrendering something, or a habit or a lifestyle or something, surrendering something to God so that we can further maybe rely on God. And that, honestly, that can take some preparation. You know, if the church just kind of got up and said, hey, we're going to do a 40-day like fast of food for the season of Lent, and then so if you wake up on Ash Wednesday, which is the marking of the beginning of Lent, if you wake up on Ash Wednesday and like, okay, I'm just gonna go like cold turkey the next 40 days without eating, like, that wouldn't be good. Please don't do that. You need to prepare your body for that sort of a thing. Like, that's and so in the same way, like, we want to prepare our minds for what the fast that the church is going to actually ask of us, which is a digital fast. So starting in the season of Lent, maybe you've heard it, we're going to be offering a digital fast, and it's based off of the book by Darren Whitehead, who wrote basically a 40-day detox of the digital mediums. And look, before like you start to kind of be like, oh, I can't do that. That's something that is impossible for me. Look, we are very sensitive to the fact that digital things and our reliance on like our emails, like, you guys got to do that for work, right? You got to keep communication with your families. We recognize that we need these things. So we're not asking you to just like collect all of your devices and, you know, anything that has an electrical pulse and shove them away into a closet and lock it for the next 40 days. We're not asking you to do that. But instead, what would it look like if we spent less of our time on these devices? Less of our time on our phones, on our TVs, and in our apps, and less of the mental, you know, either escape or learning or whatever, and that we surrender that to God and replace it with some more godly rhythms. And so, you know, for me, for example, like, and this is kind of like a confession, like, I, like, it is difficult for me. When I wake up in the morning, my first go-to is not to meditate, it's not to pray, and it's not to open my Bible, but my first, like, if my alarm's going off, like, the first thing that I do when I wake up is I pull out my phone. I turn off my alarm, I check notifications, I start, like, and then suddenly I'm on my, like, I'm in social media and I don't even realize it, and like I've spent the first, like I'm barely even awake and I've spent the first 10 minutes already looking through like Instagram and Facebook and things like that, and like that's how I've already begun my day, like diving into this this thing. And then, you know, some of the things that I think maybe a lot of us probably face is, you know, we come home from school or from work or from whatever, like a long day, and we just want to disconnect and just kind of get into like watch TV or something like that. And, you know, like for me, I think one of the things that I'm really looking forward to with this digital fast is that when I come home from work, I'm gonna put my phone like somewhere else in the house. I'll put it like loud enough to where if like someone calls me that I'll need to answer it, like if it's an emergency or something like that. But I'm gonna set my phone somewhere in my house where I'm not gonna be naturally like itching to search for it. And I'm gonna actually like pay attention to my kids in front of me who are playing, who are like, it, life is happening in front of me. And if I come home and if I'm looking at, you know, my device, like I'm just like, I'm missing out. So I'm really excited, at least for myself, in that I'm going to be able to, yeah, like I said, experience life. And it's, you know, it's not so much because we're like, we just think, oh, devices are bad. Like, this is, like, we've already, like, understood that this is, like, a bad thing. No, it's, honestly, we had this series leading up to Winter Weekend for our youth group, talking all about this. Like, none of these things are bad. None of these things are inherently bad. None of these things are just terrible for us. But the thing is, what we've allowed it to do is we've let it kind of enter into our brains and really actually start to shape us. And to change us. A psychologist, Sherry Turkle, once said, we are more connected now than ever, yet we've also simultaneously never been so isolated. And like when she was asked, like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? And she was saying, like, look, we've never been more connected. We've through social media, through texting, through like phones and the digital mediums, like we've never been more connected with one another. But how many of these things are so fabricated? How many of the things that we kind of put out there? I mean, even when I'm texting someone, like I'll text like Emily because we're trying to get work done for youth. Like I'll text her and then I'll like erase that text and then I'll text like a new thing. I doctor my messages. Like how many of us do we doctor like the connection and the communication that we put out there in order to, you know, present kind of this version of ourselves? So the connections, they are they're not real. They for the most part, like they lack value and they lack meaning. And so Darren Whitehead, you know, one of the things that he says in this book, he says that the boundaries that protected your real life, which is time with your closest relationships, your most meaningful activities, and your God, those are gone. No built-in boundaries or space and time to protect your life unless you build them. And basically what that means is, like, if we don't put up these safeguards, if we don't place some kind of protection around our time, then we are gonna just naturally flow into what our culture has kind of telling us to go towards. And so we're gonna lose out, we're gonna miss out on these meaningful connections if we don't spend the energy to protect those. So this is honestly where we find Romans, where we find the Romans in chapter 12. And just to give you like a really quick history, at this day and age and in this time, like the Church of Rome had been pretty well established and had been pretty like good, and they've had Jews and non-Jews alike all coming in together to worship God, and they've kind of had a good rhythm going. Except for the fact that kind of outside the church, there was a lot of persecution of the Christians. There were riots in the streets. There was all kinds of stuff that was like literally attacking these new Christians. And so Emperor Claudius, who was the emperor at the time, he put up a five-year ban on any Jews in Rome. So they essentially were exiled for 5 years. And in those 5 years, they started to develop these rhythms. They started to develop these habits. And none of them truly terrible, but just simply not, they're just simply different. So, you know, after 5 years, Claudius, he says, okay, like your 5-year ban is over. Like they all, Jews and got to come back into Rome. And so they had to like basically figure out, okay, for 5 years, these Gentiles had been running the church while we've been out kind of among like our fellow Jews, and now they've come in and now they're arguing. The newly converted Jews were saying, like, look, we just spent 5 years, you know, rehashing out some of these old Jewish customs and traditions. And then the Gentiles were like, well, we've been spending the past 5 years just kind of doing our own thing. Like, this is, and it's working. Why are you coming in and messing this up? And so they're both fighting. And what Paul is trying to do here in Romans chapter 12 is he's saying, like, we gotta come together. We've got to unite in this. These rhythms that you've been getting into, they're not terrible, they're not bad, but you're letting them change and conform you. Do not conform to the rhythms of your life. And I'm gonna close with a little bit of honestly Greek, if you don't mind. We're looking at this word conform, and I'm gonna try to pronounce this, Brayden. I think there's the Greek word for conform, and it'll be on the screen. But it's okay. Hold on. It is a tough word, my notes are all jumbled up. It's Sishemese. I don't know. I'm not gonna bother trying that. But it's where we get the word system from, or systematize, or, you know, systemize. Like, but it has this really, really interesting connotation where if you take a mound of earth, if you take like dirt, maybe in a wheelbarrow or something, and you dump it into a fast flowing river, that this idea of conforming, this idea of changing, the river starts to flow over it and systematically change the nature of that earth, right? And I don't mean to, you know, bring up anything like that, but this is kind of the Greek interpretation of that. And so conforming, like when we, you know, I used to think of it in terms of like, okay, if I just associate myself with something, then therefore, like, I almost like endorse this thing. But instead, it's this systematic pattern, you know, just like we were talking about with my phone. Like if I systematically am diving into my devices and not into God, then naturally these things are going to start rewiring our brains. And that's why, you know, with this anxious generation thing that Emily announced this morning about on March 9th, when Dr. St. Clair is going to present this idea of an anxious generation, is because he says, like, look through the digital world, like, our minds for our kids are changing because of these things. Paul says, do not conform any longer. Do not systematically be changed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by God. And one more Greek. So that word transform is, once again, I'm going to mess this up, but metamorphosithi. Brayden, help me out. Yes, you can read it. And that's where we get this word metamorphosis, right? If you took science class, then metamorphosis is where we have like something that is naturally changing, completely changing from the nature of this world to be something new. So where conform is being changed by systematic waters, transform is being changed by nature, or in this definition, by God. Being transformed by God. So what does it look like for us to be fully transformed? Maybe it's these rhythms. Paul is desperately trying to say, like, you Romans, like, these things are not bad, these things are not terrible, but please, I'm, like, he says, I urge you, I am begging you, surrender these things. Surrender these lifestyles, these rhythms, and instead adopt this new way that is of Jesus, that will change everything. It'll change your mood. It'll change your hearts, it'll change your souls, it'll change your mind, it'll change, transform your entire life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we ask that you continue to renew us day by day, that you change us, that you make us new, that you help us to understand in these next coming weeks what it looks like for us to surrender these rhythms and these old habits and these things that maybe they're just fine, but God, we just want more of you. We just want to be closer to you, to connect with you, to have real and meaningful connections, and to find joy in this life. God, we pray that you transform us to the renewing of our minds. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Please stand and worship. Thank you.